Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet,
sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today, I have the pleasure of having Tina Potts. She is an SEM expert, and we're going to talk about social media marketing today. If you have any questions, go ahead and feel free to pose a question in the chat room, or you can dial at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460, or you can go ahead and Twitter at hashtag Apple Capital. We'll take questions probably in the next 15 minutes after the commercial break. Well, Tina, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Tim. How are you today?
It's Friday. Oh,
absolutely,
thank God
it's Friday.
I guess to begin with, our audience like to hear the personal views and, you know, of the person, and they like to hear the story versus us reading a bio out, which is pretty traditional. We're kind of non-conventional here. And tell us about yourself, where you're from, and how did you get started?
Well, Tim, I am born and raised in Delaware, and I've been a small business consultant for, you know, over 10 years. I started out doing things like accounting. I was a controller for a manufacturer for over 10 years. And then when I left from there, I still managed a lot of their small companies, and, you know, I just felt that consulting was the better way for me to go. While my mother got sick, I ended up staying home taking care of her, so I started doing a lot with technology because I still needed to stay in contact with my clients. However, I was working completely from home. And that's when I began looking at the SEO and social media and all of those kind of things and integrate it into what I did for my clients.
Wow. So how is that transition from being a controller of the company and moving towards consulting on the SEO? Was it an easy transition, or was it I know when you're dealing with numbers, you're just dealing with facts, which is a plus because you're really detail-oriented dealing with numbers. How was that transition from that sense going to this as a business consultant and SEO, SEM?
Oh, well, I can kind of approach that in two different ways. So the first way I'm going to say is, you know, when you transition from being an employee to a self-employed, self-directed person, there is challenges in itself because now you have to discipline yourself to do all of the things to make your business successful. You're not going in punching a clock. So, you know, that's one of the challenges that you face. But then, you know, as far as like an SEO, SEM, when I go in and I talk to a client, I can actually come from a different perspective because I know the challenges of small business owners. And I'm talking in their language about their break evens, how to gain more clients, your return on investment, things that they understand in their language. Not just, you know, I can get you to the first page of Google.
Well, you know, it's the old adage, everyone wants to be on the first page of Google, and it is very difficult. It's one way to get there, but also when you get there, you have to maintain it. And what are your advice to tell people when they're actually looking at SEO outfits? They're going to promise them the world, but every 6 months, Google, the beast is always changing things, always changing the game. And, you know, it's like I always said, listen, you got to feed the animal. If you don't feed him, he starves and he'll cut you off or bite you. And that's what Google does to you. I don't know what's the issue with being in Yahoo. They're like in a different planet now. But Google, if you don't feed it, I mean, my gosh, you get cut off. in the ugly way.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. So the first thing I tell my clients is that you need to prepare to get to the first page of Google first, because a lot of people still have old style websites that are not content driven. And quite honestly, if your site isn't content driven, you will not sustain the position, because you have to constantly feed it, just like you said, with relevant content for your keywords that's going to keep your position on Google. And a lot of people don't even have the right style of website to do that. They still have old flash style sites, or sites that were built on old platforms that are very much driven by script instead of content. And when that happens, Google has a difficult time being able to search and spider your site. If that's the case, then it's hard to get you ranked.
Wow. If we go back to the beginning, all about social mm-hmm. media marketing and SEO, kind of tell what is SEM?
Okay. So search engine marketing is going to be more about learning the system of how reviews and, you know, the actual ranking happens. And when you do that, if you learn the system, you can begin to cater your business that way and build it online. And I want to give a good example. One of the mm-hmm. best things that a small business owner should know is that people can rate you without you knowing. So you could have this online presence that you have no idea about, and it may not truly represent what your company is about, because other people can rate you if they know what your telephone number is.
Mm-hmm.
So your reputation could be out there, and it could be a reputation that you don't want it to be, based on what someone else said about you. So that's one thing. You know, another thing is, you know, being able to do pay-per-click and targeting whatever your specific keyword. So let's say you're a pizza shop in, you know, Philadelphia, and literally you begin to do a lot of different things, and in the background you always are putting the tag Pizza Shop, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So that way you can begin to come up that way. But it's very difficult if you don't know what you're doing, and if you don't have a strategy behind it, it really doesn't pay off.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So when you look at the particular person to take a strategy, I mean, and, you know, even with the social media itself, how can a person sit there and come up with a good SEM campaign? Is there certain outlines that they can look at, hey, this is A, B, C, and D. These are the things you need to do to get there. And part of that campaign is, you know, is social media marketing. What, just in like 3 points, what main things it should cover? Of course, number 4 would be maybe the social media marketing, but what top 3 things they need to be aware of?
Okay, first thing that a company could do to increase their presence online is going out and making sure that your company is listed correctly with search engines. And definitely hit the big ones, but there's so many search engines out there that you should be listed with. And make sure your telephone number is correct, that your listing is correct, your name, what your you know, the services that you offer. That definitely should be the first thing. And you know, the next thing I would want your audience to understand is that SEO, SEM, and social media are all different animals. We kind of lump them together because it is an online presence, but they're all different animals, so they all have specific and different strategies that should be utilized.
Wow.
But if a company is just getting started, I would tell them, especially if you're a local brick and mortar and you have local clients instead of like a national audience, then you would want to make sure you get listed with all of the top directories, definitely Google, Yahoo, Bing, Ask.com, all of those, and make sure your telephone number is correct as well as your listing. Add images, because we're definitely an image-driven country, you know, society right now. So just add those things in there. So that would definitely be the first thing. The second thing that I would tell you, especially on social media, is learn to tell your story. What I see as far as status updates on Facebook and Twitter when it's constantly buy my stuff, what people don't understand is we can actually passively hide you. So I don't have to see your message that you're constantly asking me to buy your stuff. But what I do like is when you engage me and you talk. About tell it from a customer's point of view, and your business would go a lot further faster.
Mm-hmm. So again, the key point is always engage. Now, for example, if you go back to, you say, SEO, SEM, and social media, they're all three different things. That's what you mentioned? Okay. And with the SEM, with social media, you want to engage the person then versus just send them an announcement.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, and let's give it some examples. A good status update would be I deal in home care a lot. So a good status update would be I just visited 70-year-old client who's happy with his aid service today. Because she takes care of all of the little things. A bad example would be, come be a client of my home care business. You know, they don't know anything about us. They don't know anything about the way that we approach this business, what sets us different from, you know, the other home care businesses that are out there. So that's two different ways of approaching it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Wow. If we go back to the basics of social media marketing, what a person need to be aware of, and how should they go about planning a plan for social media marketing?
So the best things to incorporate in your plan is, first, you have to know who you want to reach. And I know a lot of businesses will say, when I ask, who's your target market? They'll go, everybody can use my service. And I try to get people to understand that if you're trying to target everybody, then you're watering down your message. So let's get real clear on who you're trying to reach. So let's say that your demographic is women, single women who have children. Now, when you start looking at the concerns of a single woman raising her kids, single parent, you know a little bit more on how to tell the story to get her engaged. And if you start planning your messages, your status updates, to engage her with the struggles she's having every day and then possible solutions, her interest is going to peak instead of just having a bland message that's out there for everybody. So that would definitely be the first thing I would say, is know your target market.
Okay.
Then you got to have a plan. You have to have a plan of engagement, and then the next thing is being clear on what you're going to offer, because first off, you have to get them in your community. You have to build your like and trust factor. And then once they trust you, then you start talking about your services. So it's not like a one and done thing. And that's what a lot of people are going after. They want the instantaneous results. You have to build your presence in that community. And that's how you have to think about it. You're part of a community.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, we have all these different tools. I think one of the major things of small business is, oh, my gosh, I mean, we got Twitter here. We got this freaking Facebook. You know, we got all this Digs and Delicious and all this other. I mean, gosh, how can the world manage to and handle my own site, you know, and deal with my blog? I mean, all these things they want us to do, I mean, to post to each one, I don't have time to do it. Are there resources that they can go out there and you know, on one platform that they can put everything on and to communicate at the same time to all of these different services so they don't have to keep back, you know, going back and forth, back and forth. So they can communicate on one platform, the response is back on one platform, goes back out on one platform. Is that making sense?
Yes, absolutely. So there are a lot of free tools out there, but none of them service all of them. So, like for instance, there's Hootsuite, and Hootsuite you can update your status to a lot of the different social media outlets all at one time. You know, there's Ping, and Ping happens to be changing right now over to Seismic. And so a lot of the services that they used to subscribe to will no longer be. So, and that's actually one of the platforms I use a lot. I use Ping a lot because I could get out to about 40 different outlets at the same time. But they're dropping a lot of theirs down. So you have to find a combination of ways to get to all of them. That's the first thing I wanted to say. The second thing I wanted to say is you really should plan your strategy and understand which platform is good for another thing. Like, for instance, I feel that Twitter is where you start the conversation, but you can't finish it there in 140 characters or less. So when you're using Twitter, you have to be able to talk in ways of moving someone to join you somewhere else. So you have to know to use each platform for what it's meant to do.
Okay. Okay. It kind of makes sense. I'm absorbing it. So you mentioned Hootsuite as one option, and you can tie all these things again, and you mentioned Ping, but you say Ping has taken a lot of their options out.
Yes. So Ping, I believe they probably updated maybe 30 or so, maybe even more different networks. And now they're changing over to Seismic, which I think is going to be a better platform in the end, but they're starting with a limited number of outlets that they're going to do. I know they're doing Facebook, they're doing LinkedIn, and Twitter. I can't remember if they're doing any of the other ones. I mean, because they used to do Tumblr and just Dig. And, I mean, just so many of them. But now they're going to start with the core three or four. And then I think they'll step it back up later.
Okay. What is the issue? I have a question here is going on, which I understand from them, is regarding being in Yahoo. Why are they not being Google? When regards to indexing and updating?
So the question is why they're not beating Google? Is that what you said?
Well, not really beating Google. I mean, it seemed like, you know, in the 90s, Yahoo was at, you know, then academia really just had Google. But it's hard to get things really updated. It seemed like Bing and Yahoo, which is far behind the times. Why are they not being as aggressive or proactive as Google, in your opinion?
Well, because their strategy is a little different. You have to understand that Google is the giant, and you know, they not only do they have Google, but they also have YouTube, which so they actually are setting the trend of the market, and then Bing and you know, Yahoo now are following. It always happens that you're going to have a leader for a while. And because that leader is a little bit more innovative in the way that they do things, that is the reason why they seem to be a little bit more successful at it. And the one point that I want to add here is because you should definitely be incorporating video in your strategy just because of the fact that Google owns YouTube.
Okay. So, I mean, they hedged their bet on that. So, when you mentioned videos itself, should we go out and look at making videos ourselves and posting it on our website or post it on sites like YouTube? Is it going to feed all the way through to us and point back to us, or should we put it on YouTube and then put it on our site?
You definitely, I mean, there's a lot of different strategies, but for a beginner that's starting out, this is what I would recommend. I would recommend that you just grab a camera, and it can even be your, you know, we have smartphones today, so you can do a video on your smartphone, and literally just start talking about your business. Talk about different things that happen from a client's perspective, and set yourself up a YouTube channel. It's free. When you post the video, you want to make sure that you put a link to your website in the description when you add the video to YouTube. Then come down and make sure you're using the keywords that are pertinent to your business. The great thing is you can embed that same video back on your site if you want to. So now that one video is now serving two purposes. You started a presence on YouTube as well as use that video to embed it on your site. So it's doing a double duty.
Okay. Any other tips that you can kind of offer people need to do in order to kind of enhance their campaign for social media marketing? Most companies can't, it's hard to measure. You can measure by the number of your likes, you can measure by the interaction, but some of them don't think it's a monetary value. Maybe you're making deposits for the future in a sense, but is there a way that with an engagement, maybe you don't want them to necessarily buy, but to spread the word? Tell them about yourself. If you're cupcake, you know, your reputation will be out there. Is it something for a service business that they can do to try to get their brand not so in the face with people, but is it something they can do to help other people to bring their brand awareness out?
I think there's a lot of things that can be done. And because we're talking in such a broad basis right now, it's kind of hard to get into just one. But what I would want to say is there are three things that a person can do. You can either learn and do it yourself. You can go learn from someone like me who understands what they're doing so that you know all of the key components, or you hire someone to do it. But what you need to know is that you can find a return on investment on a lot of what you're doing. A lot of times, most people are gauging in the wrong things. I don't believe everything is about the number of likes that you get. I know that that is some of the ways a lot of internet marketers do it, but because I'm a small business consultant, my clients want to know the return on investment. So if I go in there and say, I've given you 500 likes today, they're going to go, okay, Tina, but that doesn't do anything for my pocket. So when you come, you got to understand how to move yourself, which outlet is going to move my business further, faster, what's going to get me to the goal. Because it may not necessarily be Twitter. It may not be Facebook. It may be that you just need to set yourself up in online directories first. You got to pick your battles first. So I would have to know a specific goal for a client, and then I would say, okay, based on what you said you want to do, this is the first thing that that you should do. And most of the time, it's going to be, let's get your listings on all of the search engines corrected. Because what happens is you can think of the search engines like a telephone book. And remember, you know, a while ago, if you wanted to find a lawyer or, you know, a pizza shop, you would pick up a telephone book and you would go to the Yellow Pages, search pizza, look at the ads, and pick one. Well, that's the same thing we can do now on a smartphone. We can do that right now just by picking up your phone saying, okay, show me an attorney in whatever city, and you get a list of attorneys. But if your business isn't there, you're not being seen. So that is the first thing that I would have. That's the first thing I would have every client out there correct. Go look and see if you're coming up. Don't search your name. Search your industry, because a lot of people search their name and say, yes, I see myself. No, search your industry. If you don't come up when someone searches your industry, then no one's finding you.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break real quick, and we'll be back, and we're going to talk about a few more topics and wrap up the show.
Okay.
We'll be back in one moment.
You're listening to the Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida, is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Chicane.
We'll be back with Tina Potts again regarding social media marketing. Kind of tell us about some of the services your company normally offer when you look at a client.
We offer different types of packages that can do all in one, where we will do everything, whether it's SEO, SEM, and social media. We definitely can do each different one. We can, if you do a lot of business to business, we would recommend that you have a great presence on LinkedIn. So we can help you build that presence and make the connection. But I also do a lot of free trainings as well, because I know I can't take everyone on as a client. So I do a lot of free trainings because I want people to understand how to really use these powerful tools. So I know last week I did a seminar on Facebook and the new timeline changes and how you can actually begin using that in your business. So anyone can get that for free, the audio from that, if they go to my site. It's a link right there. You can just, you know, get that audio. It will give you actionable items that you can start doing right now on Facebook to build your presence for your business. So I approach it a lot of different ways. I would have to know what's the client's goal, but they just really need to get out there, get trained, understand which each platform really should be used for, and then they can cater their strategy that way.
Okay. So, talk about the timeline for Facebook. Do you think that was, of course, they go public today. Do you think that was an advantage of having a timeline? What was the premise, do you know of, why they have the timeline?
Because we're all about the story now.
Okay.
It used to be that there was gatekeepers. You know, we didn't hear a story unless we saw it on the news. But now we're all telling our own individual stories, and that's what the timeline is about. You can use such great images. You can get out there and tell your story. And, you know, each one of those changes is really about the engagement of sharing yourself. So I know a lot of people had a problem with that change to the timeline, but I really believe in the long run for businesses, it's going to be a wonderful thing.
Hmm. Why do you think it's wonderful? I mean, I'm just, I know for, I part of I can see the advantages of it because I see our timeline and I say, oh, that's a lot of stuff on here. And the thing is, we kind of post a blog every single day, and it feeds through it to Facebook. And we, of course, we have these shows that we do for a day, and it feeds through that as well to let people. It actually is helping us in one sense. We know what's going on in another realm when everything is all pointed together. What's the advantages long-term, in your personal opinion, the benefits of having a timeline? Is it
so
stability or? Go ahead.
Yeah, let's talk one thing. For any small business out there who doesn't have a website or who doesn't get a lot of traffic to your website, you now can use the way that the Facebook timeline, a fan page is set up, is this actually now set up like a website. If you think of that cover photo like your banner on your site, you can have all of your different apps that link to different pages of your site. You can pull in other media, like, for instance, you were saying, if you have a blog post out on your WordPress site, you can have that automatically feed to your timeline. Let's talk about businesses that have been in business for like 20 years. So, you know, they're really rich in history and, you know, have done so many things probably around the community. Facebook has what they call a milestone now, where you can actually say, you know, we were established in 1965, and you can take and put a great image that when you did your ribbon cutting and have that stay as a milestone. So now if you go in and set up that fan page correctly, I can see all about your business from the beginning right on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah, I see that.
That's not something you could do before.
No. So you think in long term that's going to play a good part of establishing that particular brand or that particular business? Hey, yeah, I started here. Here's a picture of me and, you know, tilling the soil and hey, we just opened for business. Here's my first dollar. You think that have an impact on the consumer? You know, looking
yes,
at that, hey.
Yes, I do. Let me give you a perfect example of one of my clients.
Okay.
Recently. So there was a fire in a couple of apartment buildings where everyone pretty much lost everything. One of my clients is a school. So this school did a fundraiser and a clothing drive, and in 2 days they had like two minivans full of stuff to just give to these families. I mean, they just organized this like really quickly. And what happened is when they started talking about the stories of the families on their Facebook page and talk about what they were doing, they had so many other companies start to donate. And I mean, people came out to volunteer just to help get these families back on their feet. That was all possible on Facebook because you remember there's 800 million people on Facebook right now. When you're talking about a way of getting the message out quickly, it is definitely in Facebook. Definitely in Facebook.
So that's what the perceived value of Facebook because of they have so much contact of influence on the world that they can just automatically just fall right in. If you need to get something out, this is the medium to get it out quickly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I know that even just personally for me, Facebook, my family's all over the world right now. So Facebook allows us to stay in contact in pretty much our day-to-day lives. I mean, you know, when I'm talking about my kid you know, was on the honor roll, you know, my family gets, you know, they know it instantaneously. And that's why we're, everyone is so absorbed into Facebook, because we're now able to connect in ways that we weren't able to because of time or distance, geography. So now a business can be part of that engagement. It's just the perfect way of getting your business out there.
Hmm. What is your opinion about the valuation? Just speaking on top, since it's been marketed today, what do you think about the valuation of Facebook?
you know, I think
I didn't mean to put you on the spot. It's just, is it going to an unknown thing, or it's just between you and me and a few people? But
and a few people.
You know, I feel good for him. I feel good for the person who created it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people always are looking for the negativity in something. And quite honestly, I feel that that team of people, I don't want to just say Mark Z because it really isn't just him, but that team of people did a phenomenal thing when Facebook was created. And, you know, whether it was the first or not, you know, everybody can debate that however they want. But what they did was a great thing. And now there is a way of interacting and becoming a community online. And it's just a matter of how you want to participate in it. So that's the part of Facebook that I like. All of the other stuff, I really just try not to think of that kind of stuff, because I have to use tools for what they will do for my business and for my clients, instead of worrying about, you know, that valuations and, you know, the IPO and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So.
Okay. A couple of questions real quick. I'm going and finish this out real quick. Many small businesses are closing that have been in business for years. What has been the factors besides capital, of course?
Well, you know, this is one that's near and dear to my heart. And actually, I have what I'm calling the Rebuild Your Legacy tour that is about to start in June. And I am actually targeting the small business owners that have been in business for years and their businesses are declining. And the reason being is I feel that they are stuck doing things the way that they used to do it. And quite honestly, in this new economy, you have to learn technology. And you, like I said before earlier in the show, you really only have three choices. It's either you learn it yourself, you put someone on your staff to learn it for you, or you hire someone like me. But you have to get into the new way and the new economy of doing things. And I know that people are used to networking belly to belly and, you know, those kind of things, but there is an equivalent that you can be doing, you can begin online. And I believe that that's the problem. We have to learn to accept change. It didn't happen quickly in the beginning. You know, remember, we went from having the radio and television to, you know, telephones. All of that happened over spans of 50, 75 years. But now we have a major change that happens every 6 months. So if you're just now learning email marketing, you know, we're on social media now. So it's like you can't be behind the times. You have to be willing to stay and learn the tools that are going to help you continue your business and continue your legacy.
Okay. What are some examples of ways that people grow their business before they are not as effective now?
Well, I know some of my clients, because a lot of my clients are baby boomer age, and I know a lot of them, when I've come in and start valuing their business, they're still using mail to deliver their invoices. And with the things that are happening with the post office right now, where it could be like a lot of post offices closing,
yeah,
that means you're extending the amount of time it's going to take for your client to get your invoice. So that's going to mess with your cash flow. So why not learn how to deliver your invoice over email? That's like a simple thing that I could example I can show. But there's so many other things. There's people who still are just going out to networking events and using business cards and think, and you go home with a big stack of big business cards that you never follow up on. Never follow up.
Never follow up.
What if you automate that?
I totally agree. Go ahead. You're going to automate it.
Yeah, why not automate that system? Why not? If all you have to do is come back to your office and start a system of engagement with that person that will do it on a automatic time frame. Like, for instance, I have a system that I have an email and a video that goes out every 3 days to build engagement with the person so they can learn more about me, and then they can tell me more about them. It's automated. So now I don't just have this, you know, pile of business cards sitting on my desk anymore. I'm really putting it to use.
Wow. So you set up in your system like a MailChimp or something like that, or an email program, and you just automatically just send these things out and see to try to get some type of reaction. Wow. I remember walking away at a convention. We don't do that many. But I end up with like 500 cards. Oh my gosh. And bring it back, give it to the secretary. Okay, go load these up, and we'll just put this in this file here. And we kind of use them in the campaign. And so far, we got like about 20,000, 26,000 now of people that we just put our name out there. But on your
Absolutely.
Post office thing, your mm-hmm. post office thing, which really disappointed me, I think, a couple of months ago in the post office. I went to submit something. I'm in Dallas, and I sent something to Austin. Well, usually when you send something in Texas, you would get it the next day, first class mail,
mm-hmm.
a
mm-hmm.
given. Even if you mail at 8 o'clock, you have to go to the main post office to get it. If you're going to mail at 8 o'clock at night or 9 o'clock at night, you will get there the next day, no problem. That's not the case anymore. I sent something priority. I mail, which it says two-day delivery, right? Well, somehow the customer didn't get it for 2 days. Well, that's two-day priority. And then, you know, in the past, it's happened. They get it within 2 days. This year, all of a sudden, I sent something for two-day priority. They didn't get it until day 7. And I went back, of course, complained to the post office. I said, why is it taking 7 days for them to get something that says 2 days? Well, if you read the fine line, you know, we're downsizing, but however, it does say it can take up to 7 days. I say, well, why call it 2 day priority? And if I'm paying for 7 days, I would have just mailed it to them, or they'll get it sooner than that. Send it UPS, and they would have gotten it quicker. So it's really sad that now, in some cases, just going down the street to Austin, that it can take, you know, a two-day delivery, it can take 7 days for priority. And it's becoming more commonplace.
Absolutely. So Tim, now take that and change that into a small business owner with the example I was giving you. So let's say that now that adds another 7 days before that person gets the invoice that the small business is sending out. And then let's talk about when the small business, when the client sends the check, it's going to add another 7 days. So now you've stretched your cash flow 14 days further than what it used to be,
mm-hmm.
just because of the post office issues.
I totally agree.
It's a thought process, right? You know, because we don't really think of it that way, but that's what happens because we have to learn how can we – this thing happened with the post offices. We can't prevent it. But what can we do to reduce these extra days that we now have on top of, you know, that we're not used to? And, you know, mm-hmm. technology is the key.
Another question. What is your number one suggestion to a small business owner right now?
Automation. I believe that we're unable to put as much human capital in place as we want to. So what I recommend strongly is finding ways of automating processes that you do the same way every day, day in and day out. I'm going to engage a customer pretty much the same way, day in and day out. I have, like, for instance, some of the questions that you're asking me now, a lot of people ask me the same questions over and over again. So when that happens, what I do is I just put up a video, frequently asked questions, and that way they're delivered so people can know what's going on in my business. That way I don't necessarily have to be on a telephone with one person when now I can have 100 people know the answer to the same question.
Great. Technology again. Okay, so this other question, how can a small business owner protect themselves from the so-called online and social media experts?
I love this question because you can learn. What you can learn is things that you should watch out for. And my number one thing I tell people to watch out for, if someone comes in and they're like a one-trick pony, then I don't think you should deal with them. That's my own personal opinion. And I say that because if someone just comes in and says, I can get you to the top of Google, and that's all they have to offer you, then once they get you to the top of Google, they're going to be gone. They could be using some tactics that are not sanctioned by Google and then get your site where it doesn't show up at all. So those are the things you want to protect yourself from. If you have someone who wants to come in and want to explain to you exactly what they're going to do, exactly what the benefit is going to be to your company, then, and they have a well-rounded approach, not just one approach, a well-rounded approach, I think that is going to be the person you may want to deal with.
Okay. And what kind of components of it consists of a great website presence?
Okay. So the first thing that you should have on a website and is an opt-in. And what I mean by that is you want to have a way of gathering the traffic that comes to your site, name, email address, and I sometimes ask for cell phone numbers at this point because I do text message marketing as well. But an opt-in, it really should be something that's going to be compelling enough that someone's going to want to put their name and email address in there. So, like right now, for me, I'm giving away exactly what you can do on Facebook to build your business. So if someone wants to go over to my website, they can put their name in, their email address, and they can get that audio. It's going to give them actionable items. That's the first thing. You want to make sure that's above the fold. And what I mean by that is you don't want to have to scroll down to see that. The second thing that's good that you really need to have is how do you want people to contact you? If you do your business primarily by phone, your phone number should be prominent on the first on your first page of your website. That's the key thing. If you want to be engaged on your social media presence, then there should be links for people to connect to you on your social media presence. Whichever way you want to communicate with clients, that's what should be on your website. The next thing I always say should be on the first page, definitely, is what sets you apart from everyone else. You know, what makes you you? And, like, for me, I feel I'm well-rounded. Not only can I tell you about social media and online, but I can talk about your small business, period. I can help you strategize. So I make sure that that comes across on my site.
Okay. And why, as a business owner, I can't ignore the internet?
Because that's where everyone is. Let's talk about just the smartphones. MarketWatch last month said that out of all the phones that were purchased, I think about 50% of them are now smartphones. So we're using our phones to get on the internet, to engage on the social media platforms. So if you're not there, if your business is not there, you're not being seen. So you have to be on the internet now. And just for the reasons that we, other reasons we just talked about, the changes that are happening in the post office, the fact that you can't get face-to-face meetings as much as you could anymore. So you have to be where the people are. And the people are online right now.
Give us some great examples of mom-and-pop business owners can translate online, if that's making sense. I'm just reading what you gave me. Yeah.
Say that again now.
Some examples of mom-and-pop business. How can they transition to be online? What they need to do to become online?
Oh, let's see. So the first thing I would tell anyone right now is if you don't even have a website, just get on Facebook. You know, I really believe that you can start there if you haven't done a website. I'm not going to say that's all you should do, because you definitely, along the line, should build a website. But if you haven't, start on Facebook. It's free. You can set up a fan page for your business for free. So that would be the mm-hmm. first thing. The second thing I would say is figure out a way to convert what you're already doing offline. Begin incorporating them together. So I was at a restaurant earlier in the week, and they had their napkins. And I said, you know what would be a great thing is, why not just print on your napkins your Facebook page? Or give an offer to kind of drive the people who are already in here, who love your business, ask them for a testimonial and direct them to your Facebook page and ask them to give you the testimonial there and give them some kind of discount or whatever to do it. That helps you build your presence without you doing anything over what you normally do. You always have mm-hmm. napkins in your business. So you're not going above and beyond. You're just using what you already do to build your presence.
Wow. And lastly, the importance of storytelling. Why we have to hear that story?
Because. Would you rather for me to say, hi, I'm Tina, and, you know, I'm a social media expert. Does that sound like a person that you want to engage with? Or would you rather for me to say, you know, I just met with John, and when I met with John, he was really resistant. As a matter of fact, he told me, I'm only meeting with you because my wife said you had to. But by the end of the day, I helped him increase his revenue by 40% in less than 12 months. Which person would you rather interact with?
Wow. The second one, of course.
That's the importance of storytelling. And if you notice,
wow.
I didn't go, Tina's great, Tina's this, Tina's that. I talked about it from the client's perspective. I talked about mm-hmm. what's going to be important for my client, and that's increasing their revenue.
Perfect. Well, Tina, how can we contact you if you want to get more information about your company and, you know, website information? What's your website address?
My website address is TinaBrinkleyPotts.com. And I'm on every social media outlet out there, so all you have to do is just type my name in, Tina Brinkley Potts, and definitely it will come up. And there's a whole lot of free tools that I have out there. You know, I do have a YouTube channel as well that I give a lot of different trainings. Like, for instance, I was talking about the business card and how I automate that. I have mm-hmm. An autoresponder series out there. So for any business that's listening, just go watch some of these videos and you really can find out for free how to use some of this stuff.
Wow. And your telephone number again?
My phone number is 302-342-1150.
Great. Well, Tina, I really appreciate you coming on to the program and talking about social media and small business marketing as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Everybody, this has been a production of the Core Business Show. Thank you for listening and download this episode on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. Everybody have a great day. Thank you, Tina.
Have a good one.
Okay, take care.
Thank you for listening to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to the core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.